Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Talking to God, a study on the principles of prayer based on the book by Ron Dunn, Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, how long to pray for something. How long to pray for something? This question presents a dilemma. We don't want to keep praying if God says no, and we don't want to stop praying if God says wait. We often get impatient and attempt to control things. How long to pray? Pray until one of three things occur. Pray until you receive the answer. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. There's an instruction in verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There's a promise in verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. There's a truth in verses 9 to 11. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Take a look at this in the context of Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. And then verses 9 to 13. Luke 11:5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And then verses 9 to 13 repeat the same truth that we see in our text. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, we again see this truth in the woman seeking justice. Man ought always to pray and not lose heart, is what verse 1 says of Luke 18. So, pray until you get an answer. And then second, pray until you have assurance of the answer. You will have peace with no more burden to pray. Pray third, until God says no. How will you know if he says no? Well, by spiritual intuition, by the light of Scripture, by a change in circumstances. This is about knowing God's will. How do you find God's will? Well, you don't. God will reveal it to you. And we can prove if it is His will or not. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Presents. That means essentially to yield yourself to the Lord. Prayer is not a matter of getting what we want the most. It's a matter of giving ourselves to God and learning His ways so that He can do through us what He wants. God's will is always best for us. How will we know? Well, Colossians 3:15 tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule means kind of like it's a sports imagery, like to act as an umpire calling balls and strikes or whatever. There's two kinds of peace. There's a peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means the end of enmity. That means reconciliation with God. We have peace. A couple of texts to reference, which we're not going to read now, but you can on your own, is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. So there's a peace with God, reconciliation. And then there's a peace, then there's the peace of God. Colossians 3:15 again tells us, you know, to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Be thankful. It's sensitivity to the Spirit. That's the reason for Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We need to surrender ourselves. We need to give Him the control that He may give us that. But here's the catch in prayer. You must be sensitive to the Spirit to know. You must be surrendered to be sensitive. And you must be a living sacrifice to be surrendered. You got that? One more time. You must be sensitive to the Spirit to know. You must be surrendered to be sensitive. And you must be a living sacrifice to be surrendered. Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's about being surrendered. It's about being a living sacrifice. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. You must die to self to live for God. How long to pray? Pray until your heart burden is lifted. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. The Apostle Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." Prayer may not change things for you, but it changes you. Paul asked God to change things in his life. God changed Paul to handle things in his life. You think about that, and you have a great day.